In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. And I'm looking at Matthew 24, or it could also be the 13th chapter of Mark, but we'll look at Matthew 24. First of all, I want you to know that Jesus cares for the people of Jerusalem. He cares for the people of Jerusalem. He's on the Mount of Olives now, and these are his words. And he says, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you killed the prophets, you stone them which are sent unto you. How often would I have gathered your children together, as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you would not come. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who killed the prophets and stoned them that I have sent to you. How I would gather you like a mother hen would gather her chickens under her wings, but you would not come. You would not come. You would not come." So Jesus weeps and mourns over Jerusalem. He weeps and mourns over the people, that he came unto his own and his own received him not. He weeps for the people. And then he says the prophetic word, "Behold, your house will be left desolate," talking about the temple of God. "Your house shall be left desolate. For I say to you, you shall not see me until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Oh, he weeps over Jerusalem. He weeps over Jerusalem. And you know why? They failed to realize the visitation in Jesus. They failed to realize the visitation in Jesus. The Father sent his Son. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. They failed to receive this visitation of salvation through his cross. They failed. The question is, do you fail? Do you fail to receive the visitation of Jesus and to come under his wings for salvation and for healing and for mercy? Do you fail? For he cries over the world today, not only over Jerusalem, but the world. "How I would that you would come under my wings like a mother hen, but you would not come. You had other plans. How I long to take you to myself, but you would not come." He speaks to the world. He speaks to the world. Not only to Jerusalem, but to the church, to the unchurched, to the pagans, to people that are into witchcraft. "Oh, how I've longed to heal you, how I've longed to love you, how I've longed to take you under my heart, how I've longed to find you, how I've longed to give you a purpose and a plan, how I've longed to dry your tears, how I've longed to heal your wounds, how I've longed, but you would not come. You would not come. You would not come." We live in a world today where people think that God is generic. You know what that means? G-O-D, God. You know, he's God. You know, you worship God, I worship God, we all worship God, as long as we worship God. But the issue is, which God do we worship? That's the issue. The issue is, who is the God that we worship? Is it the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Is it the God who sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die on a cross and rise from the dead? Who is the God that we worship? You can say, "I believe in God." Well, I'm going to tell you, that doesn't mean anything. That's generic. God is generic. But do you believe in the God of the Scriptures, the God of the Church, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who raised him from the dead, the only true God, the one God, the holy God, the awesome God? There's only one. Do you know his name? Like, do you know his name? Do you know his son's name? Oh, how I longed to take you under my wings, but you wouldn't come. You wouldn't come. Behold, your house will be left desolate. Let me ask you this question. Have you driven through the Archdiocese of Boston lately? Just any place. Any place. Last week we were on the way on, I think it's Route 16. And I remember it used to be the beautiful Church of the Immaculate Conception. It was a beautiful church. It was sold. Thank God to an Orthodox church at least. But then I go by Revere, and there was St. John Vianney's church. You know what's there now? Two houses. They made houses out of the church. Then I go to Brookline, and in Brookline, that beautiful church closed. Now they've made apartments out of that. In England, as a matter of fact, I read that they made a gas station out of a church. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful that a place of worship where they offered the Eucharist, where the Word of God was heard, now it's a gas station? Isn't that something? Then I drive down Bennington Street, and it was the Star of the Sea Church, beautiful church. Oh, it was such a beautiful, the stained glass windows in that place were magnificent. No longer. It's been sold. It was sold for $875,000, and 2 weeks later, the guy sold it for $2.5 million. That's real. It's a Protestant place of worship. At least it's a place of worship. But you see, when I hear this Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I long to take you under my wings, like a mother hen would take her children, but you would not come. And then your house will be desolate. I look and I see all these beautiful places of worship at one time that sang the praises of God. They're all gone. About 100 of them. Could it be that the Lord's saying to us, I've longed to take you under my wings, but you would not come. So I'll leave your house desolate. I'll close one church after the other. Could it be that? Does anyone ever even think that way? Like, Lord, what are we doing wrong? Like, what are we doing wrong, Lord? We are living in the darkest time of that I know. We should be building churches, not taking them down. Places should be houses of worship where people can come. We are living in the darkest, darkest times that I know. The darkest, darkest times since I was a child. And we're closing one church after the other. One church after the other. We're making houses out of them. We're making studios out of them. We're making gas stations out of them. And yet we will hear this reading in a couple of weeks. The Lord will speak over Jerusalem. He will weep over Jerusalem. He will cry for Jerusalem. You killed the prophets. You stoned them. Those that are sent to you. How often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her chickens, but you would not come. Behold, your house is left desolate. You know, it's kind of a good thing to say to the Lord, what am I doing wrong? What are you trying to show me through this? Is there something I have to learn so I don't have to repeat it? Not only for people, but for parishes, for dioceses. What am I doing wrong? Like, Lord, how are we not pleasing you? Lord, what do you want to change in us? And then you go from one church to the next, and they're locked. They're locked. The churches are locked. Why do we lock our churches? We believe that our Lord Jesus Christ is present as Eucharist. Why do we lock the church from the people? Well, I'll tell you. I've been to parishes, you know, that I was going, when I was leaving my first parish, I was looking for another parish, and I went to visit the pastor, and the pastor gave me a tuna fish sandwich, and I said to him, Father, I said, I'd like to come here. I said, but is the church open? And he said, no, we do not keep the church open. I said, then I guess I can't come here. He said, well, you're so idealistic. They'll steal. I said, you know, I've just come from a church that we started Adoration of the Blessed Sacrament, and people come in all day. Lives are being changed. We have about 7 or 8 vocations. I want to tell you, Father, I'm not idealistic. I try to be a little faithful. Well, he just escorted me to the door. Do you want to know that church closed in a year? It closed. Why do we lock our churches? Maybe somebody is seeking refuge in the sanctuary to pray. Is not that what it's all about? Isn't that what it's all about, that people would come to pray? I was just saying on WEZE, I know people that have come into our church in the middle of the day when nobody is there. They had been away from the church. They had been away from God. They come into the church, and they just sit there, and the Lord touches them. I'm not telling you that the crowds come to our church every day. I'm not telling you that. But you know what? The Lord Jesus goes and seeks and saves that which is lost, even one. At least people know that our church is open and people can come and sit before the Lord and they can cry or they can laugh or they can do what they need to do. They can get angry. They can do what they need to do before the Lord because he'll receive them. When I was a little child, there was no church that was closed. There was no church that was closed. I tell the story so often. I had dislocated my elbow. My mother and father never went to church when I was a child. But when I went to the city hospital, my mother would walk to the Immaculate Conception Church, the Jesuit church across from the city hospital, and we would go and we would pray. And I remember my mother taking holy water and putting it on my elbow. I remember that the church was open, that we could go and pray and be present to the Lord. There was never a church when I was young that was closed. Never a church. It was always open. We were the only ones in that church for the times that we went. But it was a place of refuge. It was a place of worship. It was a place where God was. So I decided when I was a priest that I would not be in a church that was going to be locked. And you know, when I got to my first parish, it was locked. They locked the doors. Listen, this is how we get it open. The pastor loved Jesus. But there was a fire in 1946. The whole church was destroyed and then rebuilt. So I would say to him at a staff meeting, every staff meeting I would say the same thing. The only thing I would say is, you know, I just came from Hingham, and, you know, I was a deacon there, and the church was open, and people would come in all day, and people's lives were blessed, and that's all I would say at the staff meeting, whenever I had a staff meeting. Why don't we open our church? And I got the same message every time. The church was burned in 1946, okay? So the next time we had a staff meeting, I'd say the same thing. I'd say the same thing. And I keep on saying the same thing until finally the pastor said, you know what? I have an idea. And he said it to me privately. I said, what's your idea? He says, we can lock the main church and just keep the chapel open. I said, what a wonderful idea. Then I started doing adoration. And one Lent, he says, I have an idea. I said, what's your idea? He says, why don't we keep the Blessed Sacrament out all during Lent? I said, what a wonderful idea. Now, they do not have Eucharistic adoration as much anymore, but the church is still open on 386 Hancock Street, the little chapel, and people pour in to that place. I've gone in when I've been in Quincy, and it's never empty. Somebody is always there. My house shall be called the house of prayer, Jesus said. That's what my house should be called. And because the temple in Jerusalem had become anything but a house of prayer, not one stone upon another was left. Not one stone upon another was left. Oh, they were all so in love with the temple. The next verse. Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him to show him the buildings of the temple. They said, look at the temple. Look how gorgeous it is. Look what it's arrayed with. It's beautiful. And Jesus said unto his disciples, do you see these things? Amen, amen, I say to you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another. And in the year 70, the temple was pillaged. They gave up Jesus. They lost their temple. Whenever anyone gives up Jesus, you're going to lose everything. You'll lose everything when you give up Jesus. When the church becomes a business and you give up Jesus, everything, you lose everything. You'll lose everything. You'll lose everything. You'll lose everything. Give up Jesus, and I'm going to tell you, everything will be lost. You close your churches, one right after the other, because you know what? The Lord knows how to do things. He's still the same Lord that deserves our reverence, the same Lord that deserves our love, the same Lord that deserves our adoration, the same Lord that deserves our hearts, the same Lord that came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. He's the same Lord, and he knows how to do things. And he's so patient. He doesn't do it all of a sudden. He reminds us to change. He calls us to change. He calls us to repent. He calls us to change. He keeps on sending people to tell us to change. You don't listen, you don't listen, you don't listen, you don't listen, you don't listen. After years, he says, you know what? Not one stone upon another will stand. Not one stone upon another will stand. As I said, we're in the darkest times that I've ever experienced in history. I was not alive for the Second World War. I came after the Second World War, and we had prosperity. Now it sounds like Matthew 13, wars and rumors of wars. Children disobeying their parents, earthquakes here and there and everywhere. Famines and pestilences. Then it says they shall deliver you up. They shall kill you, and you shall be hated by all the nations for my name's sake. That's happening in the Middle East. That's happening in Egypt. That's happening in China. That's happening, maybe not yet in the United States, maybe not yet in Europe, but that's happening. Brothers and sisters, Catholic, Protestant, and Orthodox are dying every day for the Lord Jesus Christ, every single day, in jail for what they believe. Nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. Listen, all these are the beginning of sorrows. Oh, they are not the culmination. Do you think we're in the culmination? Oh, no, we're in the beginning of sorrows. We are living in apocalyptic times. I'm not telling you Jesus is coming back next week. I don't know when he's coming back. I just know one thing. I know one thing. We are living in apocalyptic times. And what is the goal? The one that shall endure unto the end shall be saved during the persecution. And the gospel of the kingdom must be preached to the whole world for a witness unto all nations. Then it says, and when you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place. What's the holy place? The place where Isaac was offered by Abraham, the Temple Mount. That's what Jesus is talking about. Do you want to know what's there now? The Dome of the Rock. It's the abomination of desolation. Standing in the holy place. My Lord. The Muslims do not worship the same God we worship. That's just true. I don't care what anyone says. Their God is Allah. Allah is the moon god. He is one of 365 gods of the desert. I have a friend that has his doctorate in Islam. He has his doctorate in Islam. Young boy, just got married, speaks Arabic. Oh, he's a good boy, I tell you. He goes out and, you know, he's got all these Arabs around him. What do you think he's telling about Jesus? Because they're saying his God is one and he has no son. Well, you know what? God has a son from all eternity and his name is Jesus Christ. And the one who denies the son denies the father. We need to pray that God, the Father, would pour out his Holy Spirit during these dark days, that people would come back to Jesus and to the church, that people would confess their sins and repent, that God would do a new thing by the gift of the Holy Spirit. We need it to be done. We need it to be done in the West. We need it to be done in America. We need it to be done in America. We need it to be done in Canada. We need it to be done. We need it to be done. And nothing but a move of God will make a difference. We need the power of God, the presence of God, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We need that God would raise up men and women to preach his word. We need people that would give their whole life for Jesus, even unto death. We ask for mercy, Lord. Mercy on the people who are being persecuted because they love the name of Jesus. We ask for mercy in the Middle East and in China and throughout all the Muslim countries, Lord. Mercy, mercy, mercy. We ask that their faith would be strong, Lord, and even if they're in jail, that you would give them the grace to persevere and not give up. And even if they're led to death, Jesus, that you'd give them the unction of the Holy Spirit, even unto death, as you gave that unction to the martyrs, to Peter and Paul and Andrew and James and John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Simon, Jude. Oh, God, draw near to us. Please draw near to us so that we can draw near to you. Draw near to us so that we can draw near to you. Amen. Tonight I will be, the last Monday in March 2011. I will be at the St. Joseph's Church in Lynn, Massachusetts. There will be a healing service at 7 o'clock in the evening, and you're welcome to come. There will be a Mass and a healing service. And people that are Spanish, it's a Spanish church, there'll be a translation, and you're welcome to come. If they are very lively and beautiful and faith-filled. These people are faith-filled. It's wonderful. They are a wonderful, wonderful people. They have Jesus so beautifully, and Jesus has them. So tonight, if you would like to come, I believe it's on Union Street, St. Patrick's Church, St. Joseph's Church, St. Joseph's Church, and that's in Lynn, Massachusetts, on Union Street. And I need to hear from you, Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.